This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes as we continue our study, which we began several days ago, of the all-sufficiency of the Bible, which of course is involved in proving that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Thus far, as introductory material, we have considered the fact that we should study the matter of the inspiration of the Bible in general, and of the all-sufficiency of the Bible in particular, for a number of reasons. And the one basic reason that we've studied thus far is because of what is happening in the world in which we live. And we come now to a second point, and that is we should study this matter because of what is happening in the church. First of all, as we think about what is happening in the church, I suggest to you that many young people have not seen a number of things that they ought to have seen. And because they have not seen these things, they are not excited about Christianity. They may even have turned away from it. And if they have turned to it at all, they've done so half-heartedly. Let me suggest to you some things then that young people have not seen that they ought to have seen. They have not seen, for instance, Christianity truly applied in the home. That is, they have observed a kind of practical atheism. Now, as I think about this, I think about a passage in the Old Testament, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, where the Bible says of Ezra that he set his heart to do what? Notice this, three things. To seek the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and ordinances. You see this wonderful order that is given in the Bible. First of all, to seek, to look for, to study the Word of God. And having learned it, then what? Secondly, to do it. And after having done it yourself, then what? You are to teach it to others. Search then for God's truth, apply it to your own life, and then try to teach it to others. But when one says that he believes in God and believes the Bible is the will of God, but then does not practice what he knows to be the will of God, or else does not study to find out what the Bible teaches, then here is a sort of practical atheism. That is, one is saying theoretically that he is a theist, a believer in God, but practically he makes clear that he is not a believer in God, he is a practical atheist. The Bible teaches in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, that we should let our lives be worthy of the gospel. That is, our lives should reflect the principles of the gospel. As Paul said in writing to the Corinthian brethren in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you are our epistle, known and read of all men. As you live your life as a Christian, others ought to be able to look at you and in effect be reading a letter about the gospel. They ought to be able to hear what you say and watch what you do, and draw conclusions as to what the gospel is in principle. The gospel entails not only that we believe, but that we obey. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, says the Bible in James chapter 2, verse 24. Now, when young people grow up in a home in which their mother and father claim to be Christians, but then do not really try to live the Christian life, of course, I recognize that none of us lives the Christian life perfectly. But many times young people can see that their mother and father, even though they make great claims of following Christ, are really not even trying to do it. And so, having encountered this practical atheism in their own homes, they have turned away from Christianity. And so, we should study this because of what is happening in the church, what many young people have not seen. Secondly, they have not seen a burning thirst for God's Word, a knowledge of the Word of God on the part of God's people. Young people growing up in a home in which their parents claim to be Christians, but they can see they never pick up the Bible, or if they do, it's very seldom, or when they pick it up, it's only for a very casual reading. There is not this systematic, daily, prayerful study of the Word of God. You could not possibly pass a course in biochemistry or differential or integral calculus without careful, systematic study, and you cannot become a good student of the Bible without that same kind of study. You need to study the Bible every day. You need to study it carefully. You need to study it thoughtfully. You need to study it prayerfully and systematically. But our time's gone for today, I'm glad you've been with us. I hope you'll be back next time as we continue our study of the all-sufficiency of the Bible.